In the 26th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, we read, "Now on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, 'Where will you have us prepare for you to eat Passover?' He said, 'Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, The teacher says, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.' And the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12. And as they were eating, he said, 'Truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me.'" Let that sink in. Now three times Jesus had come to Jerusalem with his disciples. No doubt three times he had observed this Passover feast with them. There had been no discussion of this, a betrayal. But here it is. In response, the scripture says, "And they were very sorrowful, and began to say to him one after another, 'Is it I, Lord?'" This meal is a prelude to the establishment of the meal we celebrate. But prior to their annual celebration, they were given to a moment of introspection. What does he mean? One of us will betray him. How will that betrayal occur? But more importantly, am I the betrayer? Then when we come to the established Lord's Supper, treated by the Apostle Paul when writing to the church at Corinth, he says these things. In verse 27 of 1 Corinthians 11, "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup." This church had been observing the Lord's Supper, and apparently in a not very good way. Context leads us to believe that there was a whole lot of preference being shown and pushing and shoving being done by one group to another group. Within this church in Corinth, there were so many problems that were manifest in divisions in the congregation. Socioeconomic differences. One group could get there early. One group had to work and didn't get there until late. One group would not be able to eat at home, either because they didn't have enough to eat and they were going to this meal as their meal. And the result was there was pushing and shoving going on. In the same way as some were feeling prominent over others, some were feeling poor and left out. These feelings were all about themselves. And the result, when we focus on ourselves, is we divide from one another. That was the case in Corinth. And the prescribed remedy is the same thing that occurred on that first observation of the Lord's Supper. There was self-examination prescribed. Listen to how many times the image of a courtroom comes up as we read this passage. But we are not asked to sit before an external judge. We are asked to judge ourselves so that we may avoid the external judge, Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be, notice, guilty. That will be the verdict. Guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself. An interesting word. It literally means to judge a matter through. Diakrino. Judge it through. Look through yourself. Every part, every piece, every section. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without, here's another word, discerning. This word discerning is another word for judging. It's another word for looking at something specifically. In fact, it was a word for test. Like a metallurgist would test a metal to see its constituency, what's pure, what's impure, in an effort to eliminate the impurity. That's the word. And then he goes on to say, having examined ourselves, having eaten and drinking without discerning the body, eats and drinks judgment, krino, upon himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. Now, some have judged this passage of Scripture to be sacramental in its nature, Eucharistic in a sense. That is, that the body and the blood of Jesus is actually what we're eating when we observe this meal, but that is not exactly what Paul is saying. He himself is distinguishing. He's taking the elements, and he's saying what they represent. Same thing Jesus said when he took the bread. He said, this is my body. That is what it represents. This is, as he took the cup, this is my blood, what it represents. Now, Paul assumes those meanings, and he presents this when he says, we sit down and we take this meal without discerning the body of Christ. In other words, without considering what we're doing. Four times a year, we come to this moment, we walk into the worship center, we see these silver objects, and we go, no sermon. Just kidding. Short sermon. As one of the staff members said, sermonette this week. I won't say which one. But just so you know, I don't preach sermonettes. You know why? I don't want to make Christianettes. So, this body, without discerning the Lord's body, it could have two meanings, and both are viable given the context. One is not considering what we're doing when we take this meal, not considering the Lord's body, the body of Christ, the physical body that was tortured, mistreated, beaten, whipped, scourged, and then hanged on a tree. There's no question that these elements are intended to remind us of the body that was broken for us. But there's another possible meaning. Given the context that Paul is talking about the church and its division, he could have been talking about the body of Christ, the manifest body of Christ, which is the church. We come into this place with our minds elsewhere. We begin to take this meal unconcerned about what is going on around us, that we, as we partake of the image of the body of Christ, are the body of Christ by His proclamation. And then finally he says, you do this self-examination so that it need not be done for you. And the implication is clear. In fact, it's more than an implication, it's explicitly stated. Because people have failed to discern the body of the Lord as they take this meal, many are sick, and some have died. They've been judged. Not that they were lost, not that they were condemned for eternity. That's not implied, but what is implied is they're judged in this body, in their physical body, they're judged because they have failed to discern the spiritual body. I didn't write it, but I believe it's true. And it is sent as a warning to you and me. We not come into this moment haphazardly, thoughtlessly, but that we come into this moment advisedly and reverently, considering as we partake of the symbol of the body of Christ and the blood of Christ, by His resurrection, we were constituted and became the body of Christ. We treat one another with the same dignity and respect we consider worthy of the physical body of Christ. As we come to this moment, I just want to ask you, have you been quiet and examined yourself? For many years, it's been taught that this self-examination is for the repentance of sin and confession of sin prior to observing the Lord's Supper. But contextually, that's not implied here. Of course, sin is always the root of division in the body of Christ. It is always the reason for distraction from the importance of worship, and in this way, we are following Christ's divine design for worship. But in essence, what this introspection and examination is for is so that we can align our hearts with the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ, understanding He's the head, and we're His body.